Welcome, LSU fans across this great nation, in association with AndTheValleyShook.com. This is The Go Show, your original LSU podcast, bringing back a certain degree of hipness back to the internet radio airwaves here on a Thursday night, March 11th, 2010. Terry Muntz back in the saddle once again for our little monthly springtime visit that the Go Show fans have gotten accustomed to over the last couple of years. All the Lowell fans know the routine during the football offseason, but we're here back to talk again. We last joined you, it was a week after the Super Bowl. Since then, the LSU basketball team did win two games, so congratulations to them. But their season did come to an end. Their season did come to an end today, and that's something we're going to talk about, as well as many other topics. Spring football practice has been going on now for a week now, if I'm not mistaken. A couple of things to talk about that. Baseball kicking in full gear. Weekend series against Kansas. This weekend, the last tune-up before they start SEC play next weekend. And other than that, I think the women's basketball team was bounced from the SEC tournament pretty early. I don't know if they're going to go to the NCAAs or not, because I have no idea what their record is at all. But this is The Go Show, as I stated at the top of the program, your original LSU podcast. It is Thursday, March 11, 2010. I said that already. If you want to email us, it's been so long since we've been on here. AndTheValleyShook@gmail.com is the email address. It's AndTheValleyShook. I'm back. Kerry Muntz, Big Wee, with me tonight, always. Patrick Morris.
Man, I must be on the wrong call. I thought this was a political talk show. Oh, well, I guess I'll change my mode if we talk about LSU. Oh, well.
Okay, you take care of yourself. Thank you for listening.
Okay, I got you.
All right, and also with us again, your favorite blog on AndTheValleyShook.com. He covers baseball. Primarily Poser. He's been with us a couple of times, and I guess he likes us enough to come back and stick around and talk with me and Patrick once again. So welcome back, Poser. What's going on?
Oh, it's good to be back. Yeah, thanks for not deleting all of my columns. So
not a problem. So what's going on, there, fellas? We got I don't know where to open a show. I mean, there's nothing. I guess the most prominent news is the LSU getting bounced from the SEC tournament, which really is not a surprise to any of us.
Well, actually, I think the most prominent news is Terrence Tolliver right now.
Yeah, I was going to get into that. But as far as late breaking, I mean, LSU getting bounced from the SEC tournament, it comes as no surprise to anybody.
That was a story you could have written in advance.
Right,
it was a bad year. What else are you going to do? Coaches, I kind of have a policy of, you get three free years when you come in, no matter what, unless you have like a massive scandal, you get 3 years to do whatever you want and, complete immunity. And Trent won the SEC last year, and this year he finished last. So we see how next year goes, and then we start to evaluate. I'm really not even concerned about the future of the program.
I kind of echo your sentiments there a little bit, Poser, because look at what North Carolina's going through this season, and you're coming out of a national championship year, and that's basically the state of college basketball now. You got a lot of guys that you're bringing in, basically, guys that are NBA type material coming in for 1 year. So you got a lot of turnover going on in these programs, and that's why I'm not overly concerned. Of course, LSU's not getting the type talent that's going to come in for a year and leave, But at the same time, you get Trent Johnson inherited a pretty good, stash of players and did some things last year with those guys that John Brady couldn't do. And, they performed at a high level last year. So, taking a sample out from another team, North Carolina this season struggling, probably not even going to make the tournament unless they win the ACC championship.
No, I think they just got bounced by Georgia Tech. So, I'm not sure. I didn't see the end of the game, so.
Okay.
I don't think they're making NCAA anyway. I think North Carolina is straight NIT this year. No way.
Yeah, Trent, you get a chance to build a program. I mean, he took over some talent. He hasn't really gotten his guys in yet. But last year he showed he could coach, he won with John Brady's players. But John Brady couldn't really win with his own players. And this year he's supposed to have a really good recruiting class coming in. We can start to evaluate Trent Johnson on his own terms. Not quite next year, probably two years from now is when we really can judge him. But next year is when we get a really good inkling of where the program's headed.
It's almost a mirror image of Les Miles coming in. Came in, had a pool full of talent with the program. came in, won, and then you come back again, you have a hell of a recruiting class, and then you start coaching. So, like I said, it's following almost the same lead there, except for the fact that hopefully Trent Johnson keeps that fire the entire time.
Yeah, I think he will. He did such a good job in his previous stops. I mean, Nevada was such a good program. Stanford, he did a good job there. I don't think he suddenly forgot how to coach.
No, the only thing you worry about is, like you said, the previous stops. How long has he been at the previous stops?
Honestly, I have no idea. I know he wasn't at Nevada for that long, and at Stanford was only a couple of years.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost like you almost get scared because if he really shows that he's going to come in to LSU and do something, and I mean, LSU is great. It's a great place to be in coach, but we know that it's not a basketball school right now anyway. Now, hopefully he can change that culture, but if a big boy comes calling along, you know, a Kentucky of the world like they would Calipari, then, you know, does he hop again to that next step up? Because everywhere he's going, he's taking a step up. So
yeah,
I pray that we can keep him if he does his thing.
Look, if our problem is that Kentucky is calling to hire our coach, that means he's done good things here, and that's a good problem to have. Yeah, if Kentucky calls, he probably goes. And it's Kentucky. I hate to be the one to point out the pecking order of basketball programs in the country, but, you know, we're not an elite program. And if a Kansas or a Kentucky or a North Carolina calls, yeah, he would go. But I don't think that's very likely.
Well, like I said, that's down the road. Remains to be seen. We just really need to worry about, you know, what we've got anywhere from a 10 to a 12 recruiting class coming in with the transfer from Mississippi. So that's, you know, so you got a little experience there coming in as well as some serious talent. And then with that, you know, you're going to have a lot of experience coming off the bench because all these guys that played this year are going to have experience because they've had to play this year. So your bench is actually going to be a little stronger than you think.
Yeah, and that's kind of what killed us this year. No experience and no bench. Taz put up a valiant effort, but the team was just overmatched all year long. And if we have to start worrying about fending off other offers, that means things have turned around in a hurry, and I'd be really happy with that. So I would like to have the problem of worrying about other offers, which right now does not look to be a problem.
You got so many teams in college basketball. The other thing, you know, we're talking about up and down. We were, you know, first place to last place to this. I mean, college basketball, you get two players on a team, you can make a season and bump yourself up. All you got to do is have that, kind of like the Jordan Pippen scenario. You know, we always got to have that second player to really pull the rest of the players up on your team. And we, you know, all you had was the one shooter this year. That was it. Bo Spencer, they played really well when Spencer would step up and really start going after the ball or, you know, things like that. But when he was just, you know, doing his thing and not really the number two guy, that's when we struggled, which was most of the time this year.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. That's pretty much all I got on basketball. I mean, it was a dismal year, and the less said, the better.
And I pretty much defer to y'all two on that because I did not watch a single game all season long. Other than Tasman Mitchell and a couple other guys left over from the team last year, I couldn't even tell you who was on the team. So, no basketball.
Well, I do say we need to give our picks at the end of the show.
Do what now?
I said I do say we need to pick our national champion at the end of the show, though.
Okay. All right.
Because we won't be back until probably, probably after, maybe after the spring game or something like that. But, that's a good idea. The only thing I worry about basketball, and I'll say this one thing, and we'll wrap it up on that. Is really how serious is the university's commitment to basketball? I mean, they showed going out and getting a guy like Trent Johnson showed a little bit of willingness to raise the level of the basketball program, and hopefully that pans out. But I also worry about the talent pool as far as basketball goes in this state just really isn't there. I mean, all the guys in this state are playing football. So I mean, can Trent Johnson, is he good enough to go out? Recognize this and go out of state and try to attract some people to come to LSU. And I mean, university has to show some commitment to make, the basketball program, decent. You know, we're not going to be at a level of a Kentucky or a Kansas or anything like that. It may be nice if we did have that kind of level of basketball, to go with football. But I just, in this day and age, I don't think it works that way.
Well, it's not like there's no talent in the state. I think one of the things that kind of hurt LSU right now is, it's like Tweedy Carter was an LSU commit. Katrina happened. He ended up moving to Houston. Now he's playing for Baylor. And he's had a really good career at Baylor. If he was at LSU, we have a totally different season. It answers the point guard question, something we've never really had an answer for. I don't think we're completely – there's enough talent in Louisiana for one good top 25 program.
To be competitive, okay.
Yeah, like we're not – once again, our demands here are different than they are for baseball or for football. This school does not demand national titles in basketball. But we would like to go to the tournament. I don't think that's
right.
Unreasonable. And I think there's enough talent in the state to get us to the tournament. And I think the university has shown commitment. I think, the signing of Trent Johnson shows that they're committed to trying to bring a winner here. And,
well, and keep in mind, your chancellor, your AD and all that, where'd he come from?
That's right. He's a Duke guy. He'll leave him. That is true.
Yeah.
You know, so you do have a basketball guy in there. But, you know, you look at LSU in basketball, you can look at Texas and their basketball program and say the same thing. Yeah, it's nice that they win every now and then, but their emphasis is on football and baseball. That is their team sport. And they almost do the same exact thing.
Yeah, did you even hear their head coach, Rick Barnes, came out and said, it doesn't matter if we never win a national title because I'm just trying to put guys in the NBA. I mean, we don't have a head – I mean, Trent Johnson's not coming out there saying, hey, it doesn't matter if we don't win. I mean, if I was a Texas fan right now, I'd be livid about that. But that's the kind of program they have. And they're a pretty big dog. I mean, Texas is a pretty big basketball program.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're usually top 25 pretty consistently, especially since Rick Barnes has gotten there. And
yeah.
I guess as I said that, I guess what I meant to say more or less was the talent pool in Louisiana as far as basketball goes isn't as consistent as it is, say, for football, things like that, because, you know, we had basically a whole Louisiana laden team that led us to a Final Four three years ago. So, everybody on that team and that starting lineup was all Louisiana guys. Tyrus Simon,
well, then you look at some of the
Davis,
talent that's
everybody.
You got Greg Monroe. You know, you got some of those big guys that left the state. You got Greg Monroe playing at Georgetown. You had another big guy, I forgot where he somewhere in the ACC. But, I mean, that's who's pulling it because they're on TV every day. LSU's not on TV every day. You see the Big East on TV, so they're heading that way. I mean, you can't fault the players in Louisiana for doing that, just like they come to the SEC for football because they know they're on TV every weekend.
They go to the ACC and the Big East for basketball. And for those conferences, that is their football. I mean, the Big East and the ACC, they care more about basketball. So they're going to get the national recruits, and we're not, because the SEC, we would like to win the national championships. I mean, but honestly, how many Florida fans do you run into that actually trash talk about their basketball titles?
Yeah, that's a good point. Without question. So, but yeah, just something I thought about. We actually extended the basketball conversation a little bit longer than I think any of us really wanted to. But it's all good. It's all good banter back and forth. But the other news we were talking about before we kind of dive into the baseball here a little bit. Spring practice opened up. What was it? It was last Friday. Or was it Monday?
Last Monday is when it opened.
Monday, yeah.
Okay, so they've been doing it for almost 2 weeks now. Okay. But the major incident was, Terrence Tolliver, we teased it a little bit earlier, shows up at, in Fred's, getting a fight, altercation with some people, fractured his hand. I didn't read the whole story on this. Is that basically the gist of it? Got in a fight with Fred's and
he got tased. The important part of this is that he got tased. I don't think that should be glossed over.
He did get tased. I forgot about that.
Because that's what makes the story funny. So, I don't know.
It's a college bar fight. I mean, who hasn't been in a college bar fight? Now, granted, being a team leader, he shouldn't put himself in that position. And he knows that people are going to look for him. But let's also be honest. If you've ever been to Fred's, you know something like that's going to happen.
Yeah, heck, at LSU, you might even get a credit hour for getting in your bar fight at Fred's.
exactly.
I don't know. He has no instances in the past of ever getting in trouble. It's one incident. His story apparently checks out that he was trying to break up the fight. I think it's something you put in his permanent record, and if he acts up again, then you have stiff penalties. But I honestly don't care. this is a kind of a non sort of. I mean,
keep it within the football team and let it go, you know?
Yeah, they're making fun of it on Every Day Should Be Saturday, and I think, you know, I think they should. This is the kind of thing, it's spring football, you need something to write about. But from an actual football standpoint, I don't think less of Tolliver as a person. I don't think he's any less of a leader. I did like Les Miles' reaction. I don't think he has to kick him off the team or anything crazy or suspend him. He said that he's going to have to run through drills, and he has to catch balls even with his cast. I kind of like that when he was saying, hey, he broke his hand for something that's not football. You know, we still expect you to make catches. And I don't know, that's a little dangerous, but it's a much ado about nothing, but it's spring football, and that's really all we have to do is make a much ado about nothing.
It's a ball fight. I mean, that's it. It's a ball fight. Countless times, I'm sure, my brother, who was an LSU football equipment manager back when he was in college, can tell me lots of stories about altercations. I mean, he told me. I think there was even some altercations between some football players and Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, the Shaquille O'Neal fight. Fight between the football team and Shaquille O'Neal in the '80s is legendary.
Yeah.
I mean, that made Sports Illustrated. I mean, that was. Yeah, we're not having that level of fight where they're shuttling off Shaq in the middle of the night and the.
He's not. You know, and Tolliver's not. You know, getting. You know, he's not breaking any kind of call. He's not breaking into vehicles. You know, he's not doing any of these Ryan Turley type things. You know, it's a ball fight. If, like you said, his past didn't really involve any kind of major issues, and you know, he's come out and he's apologized for his actions, and it's, like you said, his story checked out. It is what it is. It's a ball fight. We'll see if he moves on, and hopefully, him having to catch the balls with his
broken hand. Yeah, maybe make it catch a little softer. It might actually help him.
You know, prove his hand-eye coordination a little bit more, and he'll come out. You know. Dwayne Bowe-esque or Brandon LaFell-esque can actually catch the ball in his last season.
And also,
junior season, I should say.
It's at least been a change up from the standard spring practice stories that you get every year, which is that the team is playing with more attitude than they ever have before. They're hitting more. They want to get the bad taste out from last year. If you can throw in any more cliches, feel free. The positions, the guys who are switching positions have never looked better. I mean, these stories, you could go to any team, any year, and you can pull up the same story. Just insert names. Everything said during spring football is a lie.
Yeah, and speaking of switching positions, something that I'm sure everybody listening to the show already knows, but they haven't heard our opinion on it, which is the main thing that people tune in for. Russell Shepard switching to wide receiver, pretty much. I think you saw it coming. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think this means that they're not going to try to use him in some wildcat situation. I think they will, but. I think you'll start to see him more used as, you know, as soon as Billy Gonzalez got hired, you pretty much figured he was the guy that coached Percy Harvin. You pretty much figured they were going to use Russell Shepard the same kind of way. And he needs to get in the weight room and put on some weight. I think we talked about that a month ago.
Every time he touched the football, you thought he was going to die. And
he needs to get bigger. I mean,
and as a receiver, he can be on the field for every play. I think this is a no-brainer move. Russell Shepard wants to play in the NFL. He wants to play in the NFL. It's going to be as a receiver. This is
right. It's not going to be quarterback.
Yeah, this is a move he has to make for his career anyway. So make it now, you know. And you know, hey, we gave him a shot at quarterback. That's what we promised him. He actually took snaps at quarterback. He's not an SEC quarterback. I don't think he ever really truly thought he was. And now, after getting on the field, it's now time for him to be wide receiver. And I expect big things out of him. And everybody's talking Percy Harvin, and I saw someone else mention Dexter McCluster from Ole Miss. If he can have a career like that, I'd be thrilled.
You know who he reminds me of exactly? You remember back in the day for Alabama, David Palmer?
The alcoholic.
David Palmer was unbelievable.
The alcoholic, yes.
I remember David Palmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, David Palmer is one of the most explosive players I've ever seen.
He was exciting to watch.
If he's David Palmer, I mean, I will throw a party. That would be great. I'd have no problems with that.
Even if he can do half of what Kevin Falk did here. I don't know how much they plan on using him on special teams, if they do at all. But just to kind of be that slash type guy that's going to, you know, get some end arounds, catch some balls, you know, out in the open field and make some moves and take something to the house. You know, he's going to live up to, you know, his potential. I mean, he came in highly touted. I mean, if people are expecting big things, he needs to you know, he needs to step up and produce. And I think he's, I think he's proven. I mean, in the few times he touched the ball last season, I mean, he showed some explosiveness.
Yeah.
And I know he doesn't have a problem. You know, he came in last season and said he wants to help the team any way possible, and hopefully he's kept that same attitude. And you know, and if his head's in it, if he's willing to put in the work, he's gonna do some great things at LSU. So it's basically it's all up to him. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to be labeling players as a disappointment after their freshman year.
Yeah, you can't. I don't think anybody's doing that. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, like let's wait till at least his sophomore year before we, you know, start forgetting, you know, how good he is. I'm excited to see what happens next year. The receiving corps should be awesome. I mean, Tolliver, Randall, we'll have still another Mitchell. Do we still have Chris Mitchell? Shepard.
None.
Yeah, I mean, the team, there's a lot of, and also all the freshmen coming in. This should be a really exciting team. And the big question for me is still the offensive line. And, you know, you can move the playmakers all the way, and we won't know until we actually have games being played. So this is a nice whet-your-appetite kind of thing, but really we're waiting until September in Atlanta when we play North Carolina. How do both lines play? And
right,
we'll have our answers.
Exactly. I mean, that's the overwhelming. I mean, that's the only. I mean, that was the reason why we lost a lot of games that we did, because it was, we couldn't get off the field on third down, because we couldn't get pressure on a quarterback.
Yeah.
We couldn't, you know, we couldn't put any pressure on a quarterback, and we couldn't sustain. We couldn't keep Jordan Jefferson.
Yeah.
Could keep him protected. You know, we couldn't run the ball worth a crap. I mean, so
line play
all,
is everything. You
yeah,
can't.
It's cliche, but it's true.
You
it's,
cannot hide bad line play. And
no.
We didn't have it last year.
You know? Game's the one in the trenches. You know, it's a reason why it's a cliche. It's true. So,
yeah.
But, you know, just they just need to concentrate this spring on just getting better and, you know, improving, you know, especially from what I saw last season, conditioning, weight room, things like that is something they really need to work on in the offseason, because that's the slowest I've seen LSU's defensive line in 10 years. So,
yeah. I agree.
Tommy Moffitt needs to kind of get back in gear a little bit, because he was doing some really good things early on when he was there, and he needs to kind of get back on that horse and really get these guys in gear, especially, you know, along the offensive and defensive line. So, I know the spring game is they're doing it on ESPN this year, are they not?
Yes, they are.
And,
but
and
I don't know
when is that?
Honestly, I don't know. You know?
Yeah, I have no idea.
March 27th.
Thank you, Podcat. We forgot to introduce Podcat at the top of the show. Triple P, the Fairport Temp, pushing the buttons.
Yeah, see, and, you know, it'll be nice. I'll watch it, but I'm not expecting to gain any sort of knowledge out of it. It's an exhibition. It's fun, and it gets you kind of excited for next year, but I'm in baseball mode, so.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I hope is that he doesn't do what he did last year and stack one side against you, you know, put both your number one and two quarterbacks on one side and throw your three and four on the other side. I mean, I'd like to see an evenly matched game, just so you can get you can see them go at each other, go against somebody that's halfway decent instead of just running over somebody.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. I think splitting them up evenly also, you know, promotes a little bit of competition too, and makes the guys work a little bit harder.
Nobody should have a starting job right now, except for Peterson. Everybody else's job should be open. So there should be tons.
D'Angelo Peterson, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, D'Angelo, obviously. What other tight end do we have on the roster? Shrinking up, I think that's also true. But, but yeah, I think everybody just has to – I think competition should be the big theme of spring. And they've been saying toughness and competition have been the two buzzwords. And we'll see.
We'll see if it comes to fruition. But all the spring games, they follow the same line as they always do. Defense is always ahead of offense at that point of spring and going into the offseason. It's always how it is. The offense is going to struggle a little bit. Defense is a little bit easier to get the guys, you know, set up and playing. And they're going to look, you know, as far as knowledge of, you know, playbook, things like that, they're going to be a little bit, you know, above what the offense is, just because that's just the nature of the beast. So, you know, it's coming up, you know, end of the month. So, thanks, Podcast, for that little bit of information. So that pretty much wraps the book on football. Anybody got anything else regarding football?
No, I guess just covered. Wait and see, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, so cool. So LSU baseball is 12-0. Weekend series here against Kansas. And for the fans that listen to the Go Show pretty regularly but have not visited AndTheValleyShook.com, I strongly urge you after you listen to this to get on this website and check out Pose's article with this Kansas blogger, because it is hilarious listening to this guy. I'll let you take the floor and basically set this story up, because I haven't read the whole thing yet. So where'd you find this guy and what's
Kansas,
he talking about?
Rock Chalk is, they're one of the SB Nation bloggers, so we're on the SB Nation format. The Kansas blog, they wrote their weekend preview edition for the baseball series. And honestly, I've been kind of busy this week, so I haven't really been paying attention to the Kansas series. Renato's hurt. It's the last weekend series before SEC play, and, you know, whatever. But he writes this big column, which basically declares that the SEC doesn't play anybody any good. Everyone across the nation hates us, and that we never play outside the state of Louisiana, because I think Kansas pretty much just calls us chicken. Dear Kansas, you're not important. You want to hate us? Okay, fine. We're the best. That's why you hate us. You don't hate us because we don't go out of conference and don't play good teams. And we do play good teams out of conference. We play good teams out of conference in Omaha, because beating teams in June is when it counts. The reason this Kansas guy hates us is because we win. And honestly, like, I've been to Omaha. College baseball fans love us. You know, we bring good food, lots of beer. I have a blast in Omaha. And honestly, we bring 9,000 to 10,000 fans every game. When they can do that, we'll go visit Kansas. And it's not our fault. We play where the weather is warm, the girls are beautiful, and the food is plentiful. It's not our fault that you don't live in Louisiana. So we don't leave the state because our state is awesome. And honestly, we can play really good teams without leaving the state. We play Tulane. You know, University of Louisiana Lafayette, I don't think we play this year. But the local regional schools are also good. We don't have to leave the state to find good teams. And then when we do leave the state, we win titles anyway. So if we're making tons of money, tons of fans are coming to see us, we're the face of college baseball, and we're winning national titles, exactly what are we doing wrong?
You're exactly right. This guy, I don't understand this. And I'm reading some of his stuff right now just to kind of read a quick little bit. Let's see. LSU's first 12 games were played at home against less than impressive opponents. And this season, all but two of LSU's 26 non-conference games will be played in Baton Rouge. And two road games will be in Louisiana. Well, you know, sorry. I mean, it's just think that's the nature of the beast in college baseball.
Yeah, and honestly, Kansas.
Up early. Yeah.
Kansas
doesn't even matter.
Two teams in JUCO. So if you're playing teams in JUCO, you shouldn't be throwing stones about other people's schedules. And also, you're Kansas. William and Mary might be a better team than Kansas. They beat North Carolina on the road. They were tied with UVA in the sixth inning until UVA's bullpen blew it open. William & Mary's a pretty good team. Pepperdine has pulled off some big upsets this year. So let's not think that Kansas is suddenly some national power. They got their butts kicked by Arkansas. And Arkansas is a really good team, but we're better than Arkansas.
Right. Yeah, that's just funny. The point you make about Omaha is exactly right, because I haven't been there twice myself. If Nebraska's not there, those people are all pulling for us. You know, it doesn't matter that we've gone there. Every time we go there and we play in we play in a championship game, we win. The people out there do not get tired of us winning. They don't hate us for it. You know,
yeah,
so as long as Creighton or Nebraska is not there, those people are pulling fellowship. Those people.
And
every
reason Warren Morris has a statue out there.
Yeah, it's clearly Warren Morris.
And like, look, I don't want to play like the we're the big bad school card. But hey, if you want to do it, let's go. Since LSU has won its first national title in 1991, we have won 6 national championships. That's more than the Yankees have won in the same time period. LSU baseball is better than the New York Yankees. Relative to the league, obviously, if we played A-Rod.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, we are that dominant. We are the Yankees of college baseball. And I'll kind of embrace any time some up-and-comer wants to try and knock us off our perch, because that's what they should want to do. We're the big kid on the block. Mm-hmm. Take your swings. We aren't afraid of anybody.
It's good to be back in that top honcho, because I might have stated this last time we won a show, but when I went in 2000, the last one we won with Skip, just walking down the streets everywhere, all the tent vendor sales people would just, I'd go up to them and talk to them and just kind of see what kind of merchandise they had, and just like, so glad that y'all back. I mean, it's not the same without y'all. I mean, just to hear that from people. I mean, it's just telling that to me, I'm just a dude who went there on spur of the moment just to watch a couple of baseball games, and just to hear those people tell me that. It makes you proud. I mean, not only to be an alum of that school, but to be a fan, be a lifelong fan of the sports programs, especially baseball, football.
Well, I think we were kind of afraid of it. We were afraid of our history under Smoke LaBall. And honestly, I think Smoke gets a little bit of a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think his greatest failing was that he was afraid of the expectations. He got us to Omaha, and it was you could just feel the presence of Skip. And, he never won a game in Omaha, which at most other programs would be a success going to Omaha. I think he went three times.
Yeah.
At LSU, that's not acceptable. And that speaks everything about the level of expectations at this school. If going to Omaha and winning SEC titles isn't acceptable, we'll get you fired. I mean, really, you're going to pick on our schedule? We fire coaches for not winning the national championship. We have high expectations. I mean, we're overboard. But I think you're right. There's like the whole sense of – there's a sense of fun with LSU. We take the idea of football tailgating to the baseball games. The Gorilla Ball, they changed the bats because of us, but, that's kind of cool. We had our own style. Like, before LSU, there was a lot of the bunting runners over, and, sort of my big mantra, small ball sucks. And we're the team that comes in there and just mashes home runs, but we still run. I mean, Matuk, Trey Watkins, he's everywhere. Landry, these guys steal tons of bases. It's a blast. We're not just station to station. We have tons of power, but we also have guys who can run. But even like back in the old days, when we were the Gorilla Ball peak, we still had guys like Mark Kerner. We still had Ray Wright. We had guys who could still steal bases. It wasn't like we were all just a bunch of roided up sluggers.
Well, the other thing you can say, he can say all he wants about us playing, lesser name teams, but what you're going to get from a lesser name team when they come in to play LSU?
The best
they can possibly put out every single time. And that's probably the hardest thing for a team on top to do, is to get themselves mentally prepared as much as it is physically prepared to play those games, because if you're going into a series with, the Ole Miss is ranked 12 and we're ranked number one, that Ole Miss is going to bring it. And you're geared up for that series. You're going to be on top of your game. But to get up for midweek games when the other team's throwing their best that they can possibly throw, to say that they're going to try and beat LSU, that's when the true measure of a good team right there.
Yeah, sort of like in the Pepperdine and Brown last weekend, both teams saved their aces for us.
Right.
So we went against both their teams' aces. And, I know it's Pepperdine and Brown. They're not, the powers of baseball. But still, at the same time, they were going all out against us, and I like that. We're the standard, and I welcome that, and I'll play the ego card. It's kind of fun.
It's exactly right. It's fun being, top. The top of something, and just knowing that when you walk into a place, if you go to Omaha, that you are, the shit, and it's everybody.
But it's not that we don't respect other programs. Like, I'm not going to say I don't respect other programs. I respect Texas. I respect Fullerton. It's not like I think they're going to roll over for LSU. But I do, there's a certain level. We're on a different level. Like, these top programs, I'm putting, Fullerton on that level as well. These top programs, we're on a mutual admiration society at this point. We're on the mountaintop together. We're the,
you know, looking down on everyone else. And it is kind of awesome, you know.
Yeah, and well, I guarantee
you. Somebody put up a picture of Kansas's baseball stadium. I'd like to see that compared to Alex Box, and let's see why people like to come to Alex Box to play ball.
Yeah,
you
know,
maybe
all these people
right there.
And if any Kansas fans make the trip to Baton Rouge for this weekend series, which I imagine there might be a few, they're going to come back and, you know, they're going to have a totally, if they felt the same way as this blogger did, they're going to have a totally different feeling, because what our fans are going to do, they're going to feed them. I mean, just think about, I think about this story all the time, is when we played UCLA in the Super Regional in 2000, you know, after we drilled UCLA and swept the series against them, their players were in the parking lot with our RVers eating and drinking. You know,
yeah,
how cool is that? You know,
and everybody will have a good time except for their right fielder. So
yeah, that's right. I mean, and I think back then, I think that whole weekend series, those two games against UCLA, I think we outnumbered their entire fans for the entire season for those two games. I mean, we put probably, 7,000 each night in the box that night, so maybe 14, 15,000. That was more than what they had their entire season at UCLA. So, I mean, they were just, you know, and I guarantee you Kansas baseball players have that same kind of feel.
And honestly,
you know,
like, you heard, like, William and Mary, they were talking about their quotes, because they've now played UNC and Virginia, who are also really good programs. And they're pretty much like, this is nothing compared to LSU. And I love quotes like that, where they're just like, you know, they went into the UNC game, and I was reading just one of their quotes, they were attributing some of their USC, their success in Carolina, to playing at LSU. They were no longer intimidated, because they had, you know, they had seen 9,000 fans screaming at them. And then all of a sudden, they, you know, go to UNC, where there's 3,000 fans. I think it's kind of cool for the players. They come to a place where it's really a big deal. And they don't.
Right.
A lot of these players don't get that a lot. So I think I think even the right fielder who we will heckle mercilessly, 5 years from now, we'll look back on it fondly and be like, "That was really cool."
Right. I mean,
he 5 hours later.
Right. And these guys playing college baseball, they don't get to play in front of a huge stadium of fans like college football players do. So it kind of gives them that sense of, you know, playing a big game and, you know, you got all these fans, and whether it's good or bad, whether they're yelling at you or cheering you on. And that's the thing I love about LSU baseball fans, is it's unlike football, when they applaud, you know, other teams' efforts and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just different. It's just different with baseball fans than it is with football fans. Not that there's anything wrong with football fans, because a lot of those people that are football fans are also the same baseball fans that are, you know, treating the opponent a little bit differently than what they would in a football stadium. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
What is it? I think like a long time ago, I think they gave Virginia Commonwealth, they gave them a lap around the stadium for giving us a great series. I love stuff like that. The LSU fans do, you know, we'll ride you, but it's kind of all in good fun. At the end of it, you know, we will heckle you, but here's some beer, here's some food. We want you to go back and say you had a great time. I mean, aside from 3 hours when you were playing.
Right. Exactly. So let's get into the season a little bit, Pose. You're the guy on this for the website and everything. 12-0. I mean, what's your feel? I mean, I haven't listened to a lot of baseball games yet, but just from what I've seen, I'm seeing a lot of, just from following the game threads and things like that, I'm seeing us jump out the early leads, but I'm also seeing, I guess, middle relief not holding on to leads, because we're giving up some runs in the middle innings. Is there a problem with middle relief, or is that just, you know, complacency setting in because we have such big leads in some of these games? Or?
Well, Ben Alsup's been awful. He's had some terrible outings. I'm not going to worry about it. We had the same problem last year. You experiment early on. Some guys get in games for the first time. Your ERA is just going to look crazy early on. If you only pitch, if you have one bad outing, it makes everything look worse.
Right.
Actually, my one criticism so far has been that they haven't been really creative with the lineups. Pulmonier has been pretty much trotting out the same lineup. He's actually – looks like he's benching Wet DeLatt and putting in Bo Didier a little bit more. I think DeLatt is falling out of favor. He's hitting like 200. But honestly, there's really not a whole lot of concerns right now. But once again, we haven't really played anyone that is that great. I think he was using these games just to kind of get everybody's confidence up, particularly DeLatt, and it's kind of blown up in his face in that one, because DeLatt hasn't played that well. Hanover's beginning to turn it around. He's my favorite punching bag, and he started to play really well last weekend. So hopefully he's going to start getting in the mid-season form. Blake Dean is a notorious slow starter, and even he's really – he's kind of cranking the ball right now. And, man, Micah Gibbs. I think he's slugging 700, has, like, an on-base percentage over 500, which means he's getting on half the time.
Yeah, they moved him back to the cleanup spot, right?
They've moved Micah Gibbs to the cleanup spot. Right now, no complaints. The real big concern, more than anything, is Renato. Anthony Renato's hurt. He hasn't pitched since opening weekend. He's a guy we're going to need.
Right.
And honestly, you know, it's wait and see time. He's not going to pitch this weekend. So we'll know if it's serious if he misses an SEC game. That's going to start trying to panic. Until then, he's just being cautious. If he misses next weekend, we're on DEFCON 4. So,
yeah, and then as far as you mentioned earlier about Trey Watkins and but I mean some of the new guys in the lineup that we didn't see so much last year. Matt Gaudet is having a pretty decent year at this point. I think so. If I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, no. Matt Gaudet was a hero of mine last year. He got cut from last year's team because of the scholarship restrictions, and it was one of the things that I kind of picked on. I said that I thought he was a better hitter than Ochenko 2 years ago, and so him being left off the team was just, I didn't think it was right. I think he got screwed, and that was kind of one of my pet topics last year. So I am so pumped for him that he's back on the team senior year, and he is just. He's cranking home runs left and right. He slowed his pace down a little bit. He might be following the Leon Landry disease, which is some early success. He starts swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to play within himself a little bit more, but if we can keep that 6-7-8 of Landry, Matuk, Gaudet, that's better than most teams' top of the order.
Yeah, that's pretty killer.
That would be awesome.
So, I was kind of listening. I catch every now and then at lunch, I catch Buddy Fonzie show during the day, and then they had Mineri on there the other day, and not talking about the baseball aspect of the team, but talking about the leadership aspect of the team. He said the one thing they're waiting to kind of see is who's that talkative leader. We know Blake Dean's a leader. We know that, you know, but he leads by example. Like last year, he said, for instance, you had LeMahieu and you had Chad Jones, who would just talk up a storm the entire game. Constantly gabbing, and people just tended to gravitate towards them as a result. They said he's just trying to figure out who's actually going to be those guys this year. He said, you know, like you said, he said, hey, no, we have guys that people look up to, but who's going to be that talkative leader? And that's the one thing that he mentioned the other day when they were interviewing him that he's still kind of looking for.
Hey, and sometimes that doesn't emerge until Omaha. I mean, you never know. So, maybe it'll be Micah Gibbs. He's kind of a quiet guy as well, so probably not. Maybe it'll be Gaudet. I think he's kind of got the chops for it. This is a guy who got cut off the team. This is his chance. Like this is a dream delayed. I'd really like for him to step up into a big leadership role.
Joey Bourgeois, you think he continues to be a weekend starter once SEC rolls around, or is he going
to? Well, he was penciled in at the beginning of the season to be a weekend starter, so it was supposed to be, you know, Bourgeois, Ross,
Renato.
The question is, who's going to be the number three guy? Do you move Bradshaw back in the rotation? I don't know. And I'd love to see Matula step up, but he's
good,
really
you know,
been
last start. I mean, he majorly got out of some jams. Of course, he got himself into some jams. But, I mean, he does do a good job of when he's got to concentrate getting out of the jams and tight spots.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And you know, Ross is sort of like you're just your workhorse kind of guy. We need Renato to get healthy.
That's a key component.
Really, once again, we care about titles here. I don't think we can win the title without Anthony Renato.
I think you're right.
I'm not really going out on a limb on that one. He is a great, great pitcher. You know, he's not Steven Strasburg good, but, you know, he might be Mark Pryor good. So we need him to get healthy. So, rest that arm up.
Cool. Excellent. Well, guys, I think it's pretty much all I got. Anybody? Podcast. You got anything there? There he is.
Yeah, I'm still here. Just to say that I'm sure folks have been reading, have been seeing the pictures I posted. The box is now, it's gone. It's over. And it was kind of depressing to see, honestly.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, it's an end of an era.
But they built a new, better one. So.
Well, they did. The new park is fantastic. It's just that some of those picks is just so tragic. It's like, oh, you know, we just, you know, took bulldozed to the sign and we had somebody line up for this picture of just rubble everywhere. It's kind of depressing looking.
What is the plan for that area? Additional parking since they took up most of the parking?
Yeah, apparently they've already sent out letters. TAF has sent out letters to some season ticket holders. That space will be parking. It'll be a gravel lot this year for football season, and then word is they're building a parking tower starting after next football season.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, which as you know, it sounds great, but I've heard from quite a few folks in Georgia where they have two or three parking towers, and they say they're nice to park close to the stadium, but they're a disaster trying to get out of.
I would think so. It's a disaster to get out now. So
I can speak to that just from trying to get out of the dome parking garage. So I mean, just go park at the top and crack your tailgate and wait for traffic to clear. That's what we do when we're trying to get out of the parade ground. So I mean.
Just make sure
you save enough beer for after the game is all you got to do.
Just keep drinking. Everything will be okay.
That's my problem. I don't want to have beer left over.
usually you wind up taking somebody else's.
And if worse comes to worse, you can always, you know, pull over and catch a nap in a Walmart parking lot on the way home, or you can catch a nap in the stadium, as I've been doing to do a ton of time. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we wake you up for the good part.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Just a few more baseball notes I guess I should pass along to the folks who just listened to the show. One is, as everybody knows, they're closing Rosenblatt this year. Their move that new stadium,
yeah.
It'll be done well in time for next year's College World Series. But it looks like Creighton at least is going to play some of their season still in the old Rosenblatt before they open up the new place. And
yeah, that's right.
Word is that Creighton has called up like UNC and Virginia and LSU asking to see if anybody wants to come play a final weekend there sometime May of next year. And, you know, looking at the schedule, that's heart of SEC. But it's the closing of Rosenblatt. If we get invited, we have to go.
Yeah, I think we would work around our SEC schedule. That's just too much to pass up. Closing Rosenblatt. All right, too many good memories. Let's do it.
Yep.
With our huge power in the LSU athletic department.
Yeah,
I agree. So some news on the home front. I don't know if this was we didn't talk about it last time we were on the show. But Patrick, do you want to announce your big personal news to fans of the Go Show, or you want to keep that under wraps? What you want to do? The floor is yours. I'm putting you on the spot.
He hung up.
Did he hang up?
He hung up.
Well, piss on him. Patrick's engaged, Coach O. Listener. I don't know if everybody knew that. I'm just gonna go out and just say it. Patrick's engaged. He's getting married in June. Yours truly is in charge of throwing a bachelor party, so everybody's invited. So looking forward to that. I guess Patrick thought the call was over. I'm sure I'll talk to him tomorrow. I guess he had to go. You know, he doesn't usually say bye. He just hangs up. So.
Well, speaking of which, anyway. I need to take off as well. So.
Yeah, excellent. Well,
you wanted the basketball pick, so I'm gonna go as chalk as you get. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. I'm picking Kansas. They just look awesome. So
I'm picking a Big East team now.
Yeah, Syracuse is my backup. I really like Jim Boeheim, but.
Yeah.
Can't bring myself to do it, even though Scotty Reynolds is like an 8-year senior at Villanova. Those are my danger, you know, biggest dangers. But
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if 3 of the 4 teams in the Final Four Big East teams. I mean, but the way they always slot those teams, they probably end up having some of them get knocked off in the Elite Eight, and you might only end up with maybe two based on how they have everything matched up. But the Big East is just outstanding in basketball. They're fun to watch too, physical,
yeah.
Defensive. You know, it's fun. So I'm picking a Big East team to take it. I don't care who it is, just somebody. West Virginia, not West Virginia, Nova, Syracuse, somebody. I don't know. So,
all right, and I'm out on that one. So.
That'll do it for us. This is the Go Show. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We will be back I guess whenever we feel like it. Spring game is end of the month here. NFL draft is coming up end of April, so maybe sometime in between that, we'll probably visit you again middle of April to talk about spring game, finish, put a wrap on that, talk about the NFL draft. We didn't really get to talk about the scouting combine too much. We talked a lot about baseball and basketball and things like that tonight, so maybe we'll hit that a little bit next time we're up. But as always, thanks for listening. This is the Go Show. And as always, go Tigers. We are done.